Hello, welcome to the broadcast for Sittingbourne Baptist Church for the 22nd of November 2020. We are just over a month away from Christmas. Very exciting, but very strange as well in these times. I hope you're well. I'm going to be talking about parables again. This recording is for the children in Ignite. And this Sunday, it is important that you listen to the right one because they will be slightly different because of what we're teaching and the way that I will be looking at the passage we're reading. So before we go into that, let's play a little game. Right, so I am thinking of something and you have to guess what it is. It is a vehicle. That's the first clue for 5 points. For 4 points, it has different shapes and sizes. Does that help? For 3 points, it carries at least 4 people. So 4 people or more. It will carry more people than that. And for 2 points, it has types that are called saloon and family. Does that help at all? I hope so. And for 1 point, it can be powered by petrol, gas, electricity, or diesel. Did that help? Did that make you think of a car? I hope so, because you can get a saloon car or a family car, and it does come in different shapes and sizes, doesn't it? Right, well, now that we've done that, let's go to the passage we're reading today, talking about parables that Jesus taught, and this is just one parable today that we're talking about, and it is called The Cost of Being a Disciple. Right, very, very strong, powerful things here that Jesus had to say. And he was looking at trying to give people an idea of what they would have to do in order to follow him. And as you will hear from this, it's really hard-hitting stuff. So I am reading this from the Contemporary English Version, which is slightly different to other versions, but we're reading it from Luke chapter 14, verse 25 to verse 35. Right, so the Bible says, large crowds were walking along with Jesus when he turned and said, "You cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your father and your mother, your wife and children, and your brothers and sisters. You cannot follow me unless you love me more than you love your own life. You cannot be my disciple unless you carry your own cross and follow me. Suppose one of you wanted to build a tower. What is the first thing you will do? Won't you sit down and figure out how much it will cost and if you have enough money to pay for it? Otherwise, you will start building the tower and not be able to finish it. Then everyone will see what is happening, will laugh at you. They will say, 'You started building but could not finish the job.' What will a king do if he had only 10,000 soldiers to defend himself against a king who is about to attack him with 20,000 soldiers? Before he goes out to battle, won't he first sit down and decide if he can win? And if he thinks he won't be able to defend himself, he will send messengers and ask for peace while the other king is still a long way off. So then, you cannot be my disciples unless you give away everything you own. Salt is good, but if it no longer tastes like salt, how can it be made to taste salty again? It is no longer good for the soil or even for the manure pit. People simply throw it away. If you have ears, pay attention." Right. So in this version of the Bible, it says that you cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than anyone else. But in other versions of the Bible, it says you cannot be my disciples unless you hate your father, your mother, your wife, and your children, and your brothers and sisters. And Jesus really wanted to shock people and get their attention and to challenge them by using strong words that will bring out strong emotions. So he was talking about hate in the other version. And in this version, he talks about love. So big, strong emotions that would bring big responses from people. And that's what he wanted. He really wanted to shock people into understanding this and to think about what he was saying very, very carefully. This is called a hyperbole. When you study English later on in years, you will see it's when you overestimate something so that you get maximum impact or you get people's attention really strongly. And remember that that's what Jesus used parables to do. It was like these stories that had a hidden meaning that people had to think about what he was saying, and it caused them to maybe even discuss them with other people so that people will get different points of views from them. It was possible to listen to a parable and get like 7 different lessons from it, just like we are trying to do with these parables that Jesus taught us. So Jesus used striking, unforgettable ways to force us to think. And he wants us to realize that there is no contest for his love. There should not be any contest for his love when we decide to follow Jesus. I know some of you might be a bit young for this, but really and truly, you can make a decision to follow Jesus at any stage in your life. But when you do that, you have to really think about what it is you are getting into. And that's what Jesus wants us to realize, that we are getting into a big commitment that means a lot. And one of the things it means is that although we love and respect our parents and we love and respect our friends, loving Jesus, obeying him and following the things that he asks us to do has to be the most important thing that we do. He has to be number one in our lives. And if we decide to follow Jesus, we have to be ready to do it wholeheartedly with no room for anything else coming top of the list. Jesus has to be the most important person in our life. And when we decide to commit to him, we have to do it wholeheartedly. Can't think of any other way of saying it. And that we have to realize that even if it is hard or painful or difficult, or even if we are misunderstood, even if our friends don't understand us, we have to be strong in our decision to follow Jesus. Only what Jesus wants, what God's will in our life, is the most important thing. And it, you know, it might not make sense for other people, but we have to understand Jesus's voice, and we have to know when Jesus is telling us to do something, because when he does that, he expects us to go with what he says 100%, regardless of what it looks like. So this is where he's now saying, you have to put me first above your mother, your father, your wife, your children, your brothers and your sisters, that you cannot choose to follow me if you love other things more than me. And Jesus is not saying that you will not love other things, but he's saying you must not love those things more than me. So what would that look like for us? That means if we decide to be a Christian, it doesn't matter what our friends are doing. It doesn't matter what our friends are saying. It doesn't even matter what our parents are doing or saying. We decide to follow Jesus. That's a commitment that we make on our own. And we have to stick to it and be strong in it and be willing to go the extra mile in that decision and not to be moved by what other people are doing. And it can be hard, which is why he calls it a cross. He says, you must be ready to carry your own cross and follow me. And I love how he says that it's your own cross. Jesus would never ask you to deal with other people's problems. He will never ask you to deal with someone else's anger. He only asks you to deal with the things that relate to you. So it is your cross. And the funny thing is that When you follow Jesus, he gives you the power. He gives you the strength. He gives you the patience. He gives you everything that you need to be able to follow him. So he's not asking you to do something all on your own, because he will be with you. And when you have Jesus with you, well, it's like having a whole army. You have every resource that you need. But here, he wants you to realize that you really have to make this decision and stick to it. And carrying your cross means that you must be willing to even give up your own life. And it's not like you're going to kill yourself, of course, or it's not like you're going to let other people kill you, but you must be prepared to give it up. Jesus doesn't ask you to give up your own life, but he asks you to be ready to do that. And he wants you, if you have a choice between anything else and Jesus, you must choose Jesus. Even if it means that you will be going through a hard time, a horrible time, it will not be for a long time, because being with Jesus is the best thing that you can ask for, because you will have everything else that you need. So he just wants you to be ready to give up anything and everything else. And he says, even if it means giving up your life. Because remember that when we give up our life here on earth, we have heaven waiting for us. So dying may be a very sad time, and it may be a very difficult time, but it's not the end of all time or the end of our time. So we don't have to look forward to death, but we can look forward to what happens after that, which is spending time in heaven with Jesus, which is why he wants us to realize that all the physical pressure, all the emotional and social persecutions, or people turning their back on us here on earth, is nothing compared to the joy that we will receive when we get to heaven. So he wants us to not just look at our future here on earth, but to be thinking further and beyond that into heaven and the peace and the joy that we will have for that. Jesus basically is giving people a choice. He says, either go deeper into being with me and learn more and be more, or go home. Because remember, these were some people that were following him everywhere. Even at the beginning of this, it says that a large crowd was walking with Jesus and following him. And he wanted to show people that they had a choice. They could either choose him or they could choose a different life, but they could not have both. Being a disciple meant a full commitment, nothing less. You couldn't sit on the fence and say, oh, I'll be a Christian today and maybe not tomorrow. You had to make a choice. And it was just that simple. And Jesus is really giving us some pictures here to illustrate that. He says, if you were going to build a tower, what would you do? You wouldn't just start building without making sure you have enough money to finish the job, because people will laugh at you. But even then, another thing he says is that another way we could look at it. Okay, something that would relate to you guys. If you were going to plan a picnic for your friends and you wanted to have 25 friends, you would have to make sure you have enough money for those friends to come. You wouldn't just decide and then invite those people without checking that you have enough sausage rolls, enough cupcakes, enough water. Because imagine you invited people to go on a picnic and you didn't take any drink. And then people were sitting down and having the picnic and they were like, where's the drink? And you're like, oh, I didn't have enough money to buy the drink. Or like, why did you invite all these people? You would really look a fool. And that's one way that Jesus was illustrating it, with this idea of building. Because people were used to that idea. Remember that Jesus used these parables to create pictures in people's heads that they were used to, ideas that they used every day. Everybody knew that. They might have even seen people that had started building a house and then run out of money, and then the house was only halfway done. and it wouldn't protect them from the wind and the rain. And it was such a stupid idea to say, why did you start before you started? Didn't you check that you had enough money to finish the building? Just like if you invited 25 people to your house, you want to make sure there's enough things to keep them going, enough entertainment, enough food, enough drink. You wouldn't just invite lots of people to your house and then go, oh, well, I'm sorry, guys, we're all going to have to share this one pizza. People will just think you've lost it. That what a stupid party to have without having made sure you have everything that you need. And Jesus is really saying that if you are going to choose to become his disciple and to follow him, you better make sure you're strong. You better make sure you know what you're getting into. Because it is not going to be easy. Because Jesus didn't want that the first sign of trouble, people will turn around and say, oh no, I can't follow you anymore. He didn't want people to have a hard life and then find that they were not strong enough. Jesus warns us even another time in the Bible. He says that people are persecuting me and they are saying bad things against me. When you become my disciples, they will say bad things about you. So be ready for that. Because what if you become a Christian and your friends stop inviting you to parties? And if that's the most important thing, then you might decide you don't want to be a Christian anymore. What if you decide to be a Christian and then you find, oh, you don't have the energy and you don't want to read the Bible and to learn more anymore? Or you're waiting for church to be open all the time. You have got to be responsible. You have got to decide to be a Christian and put in the work it takes to do that. It's not a trouble-free life with peace and joy. You have to know what you're getting into so that you are not tempted or you give up. Jesus is being really harsh. And he says, don't get into it if you don't have the bravery to stay the course, if you're not brave enough. Because being a disciple is a serious business and you have to be committed and you have to decide for yourself. It's not about your parents being a Christian. If your parents make you come to church all the time or make you listen to these broadcasts or make you do all that sort of stuff, the minute they are gone or their back is turned or the minute you have a choice, you will choose not to do it. To be a Christian, you have to decide that you can see the benefits for yourself. Because although Jesus is being harsh, he doesn't actually bring out the fact that when you're a Christian, you have Jesus with you. Like I said before, then he will help you with anything that you need help with. Remember we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and we talked about the qualities that that brings out in you. Jesus's Holy Spirit fills your heart up with all of those things when you become a Christian. So it's not like he's leaving you out there to do everything on your own. He helps you to have the power to do it. But he wanted people to be serious about it and not just do it because other people were doing it. So then we have a look at this king who has a battle to fight and he only has 10,000 soldiers, and the king that's coming against him has 20,000 soldiers. So that the king who only has 10,000, he should go and ask for peace terms and say, look, I can't fight you because all of my soldiers are going to be killed because you have double the number of soldiers with me. So here Jesus is saying that you must be ready to give Jesus everything you have and more. It'll help you to decide the area of your life. You have to decide today what your future is going to be and whether you're willing to put in the work to achieve the things you want to do. It's like if somebody comes and says, I want to be a doctor. Well, if you want to be a doctor, you have to be ready for a lot of years in education. Because after you've done primary school, then you go to high school, you have to not just do your GCSEs, but you also have to do your A-levels and keep getting good grades in those as well. Then you have to go to university. And you have to do another 7 years of study before you become a fully fledged doctor. So if you decide to do something today, some of the things that we decide, they take a lot of commitment. So we have to think of our future. Just like that king had to think, what is the best thing for me to do? To ask for this king to let me go peacefully or to fight? And he looked at the things he had, his resources, which was 10,000 soldiers, and he worked it out that it wouldn't be a good idea for me to fight this king because we are going to lose and we will end up being this guy's slaves. Instead, he decided to go and talk to this king and try and make a deal. And Jesus is wanting us to understand here that when we are planning something, we have to be careful about the things we are doing today, because the things that we are doing today become the habits that will make our future. So how you treat your friends, how you play sports, how you treat your parents and your siblings, all of that will be influenced by you being a Christian or not. If you don't move towards a battle, you will lose. So Jesus doesn't want you wasting your energy on things that do not bring good things out of them. Following Jesus was going to cost a lot, but at the end of it all, you would have so much more to gain. So all the hard work of following Jesus, being nice to people, giving up some of the things that you had and all of that, it would pay off. It would make you a better person at the end of the day. So a lot of times here, we've got these three things that Jesus talks about. And you would wonder, how did people respond to this? How did people sort of like, what decisions did people make when Jesus was being so harsh and so horrible? But if we look, Jesus did have disciples and he did have people following him and he did have crowds of people that were willing to follow him. If we look at some of how Jesus met the disciples, they were convinced by this. And they, if you look at how when he met Peter and James and the sons of Zebedee, they were all fishing. And Jesus said, come and follow me. And they left everything that they were doing. They left their father with the nets, with the boats, with everything, and they followed Jesus. They didn't go and pack things. They didn't take anything else. They just went with the clothes on their back. And when they were with Jesus, nobody ever went hungry. Nobody ever didn't have clothes or anything like that. He made sure they had everything they needed. So leaving everything was the best thing they ever did. And there's another part when Jesus met Matthew, who was a tax collector, and he was collecting money in the streets. And when Jesus called him, he said, leave everything and come and follow me. And Matthew did just that. He left money on the table. He left his job. He left his house and other things. And he went and followed Jesus because he recognized that following Jesus was the best thing that he could do. And then we have a rich young man that Jesus talked to and the one that came and was asking what more he could do, because he said, I'm already following all the Ten Commandments. So what more must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, leave, go and sell everything you have and follow me. And the rich young man was not ready to do that. He wasn't ready to give up everything. So we can see that there are different responses. There are some people that were absolutely convinced with Jesus and absolutely believed every word and knew, and they could see that that was the best decision that they could make, and they followed him. But similarly, there were other people that weighed everything and they decided, is it better to follow Jesus? Is it better to give up everything that I have? And they decided, I can't actually do that. And they didn't follow him. And then at the end of this, the last two verses, Jesus talks about salt. And salt at that time was considered to be something that was very essential in the society, because not only did it flavor the food to make it tastier, but it also preserved the food so that you could store it for a long time. Things like fish, because they were fishermen and living by the sea. So if you had a big catch of fish, you could prepare the fish, put salt on it, and it would dry the fish up so that later on, even 2-3 months later, you could still cook that fish and eat it. And the way they used to get the salt was to take water from the Dead Sea and evaporate it. And when you did that, what would be left would be salt. And the chemical name for salt is sodium chloride. Now, the sodium chloride looked a lot like pieces of rock called stale. And if you were not careful and you could collect a lot of this sand particles, and you might think it was the sodium chloride. But the sodium chloride would have been leaked out, and what was left looked like salt, but it was useless because it didn't have any flavor. So Jesus here is saying that Christians can be like salt, that they can look like salt, but they do not have that flavor. They do not have that usefulness that salt has. And these are Christians that might look like they act, they might look like Christians, and they might pretend to be Christians, but deep down in their hearts, they are making the decisions for the wrong reasons. And Jesus is warning us here that we should make sure that the things that we do and the things that we feel and the things that we say show that we are Christian. Imagine if you were on trial and you were before a judge and you were being accused of being a Christian. Would they actually find that you do and say and think Christian things? Would you think and say and do enough Christian things to be accused of being a Christian? Now, this is something that you have to decide for yourself, that it's one of those rhetorical questions that you can answer for yourself. Do you do and say and think enough Christian things to show that you're a Christian? And are you willing to give up everything to follow Jesus? If you are, speak to your parents about it. And depending on your age, you might be ready to make that decision. But you really need to be careful and make sure you know what you're getting into, because it is not an easy life. You have to trust God, and you have to listen to the things that Jesus tells you, and you have to be able to listen to his voice so that the enemy doesn't try and trick you. And you have to be ready to be willing to give up everything. God doesn't ask us to give up everything, but he asks us to be willing to give things up so that he and he alone may be glorified in our lives. So I hope you enjoyed looking at that parable. It's a really hard one, this one, because it's asking quite a lot of tough questions of us. Do take care. And if you're putting up Christmas decorations early, well, I hope you enjoy it. And if not, it's not long to wait now till Christmas. So I'll speak to you soon. God bless. Oh, and a quick reminder that if your parents haven't done the permission slip for you to join in with the Christmas nativity play and presentation, please ask them to do that as soon as possible. Thank you. God bless you. Bye.